Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show, Conversations with David Icke. And I'm thrilled to have David back on the show. Good morning, David.
Morning, Maria.
I know it's not morning where you are. David, I have to tell you that I've been reading your book, your latest book, Everything You Need to Know, But Have Never Been Told. And even though I'm so familiar with your work and I've read all your books, I'm amazed by how much new material you have in this book. It's great.
Well, I think that, this is what I've been saying all these years, that, so many researchers find a niche and then just keep repeating that niche. I remember over the years, I've been to conferences and I've seen certain speakers speak and they say interesting things. And then I see them speak 10 years later and it's the same presentation. And what I've always sought to do is constantly understand more, constantly uncover more. And when you do that, the journey never ends. You never go into a holding position. And that's here and no further. You're constantly expanding your knowledge and therefore what you can communicate. So, I was absolutely delighted with the way this book has turned out. And I wrote it in a ridiculously short time as well, considering the size of it.
Oh, yeah, I can't even imagine.
The information just dropped in the most synchronistic way. And so much that was in the book about the agenda, it's already happening, I talk in the book about the fact that the demonetization of YouTube videos for the alternative media and any alternative narrative was the precursor to taking out the channels altogether. And of course, that's what we're seeing now on an ever more blatant and obvious scale. This war against freedom of speech and freedom of opinion, which has always been on the agenda, is now becoming blatant. And it's coming from all angles. Any excuse will do. We've got this situation in Britain currently, and very topically, where a Russian double agent living in Britain has been subject to a nerve agent attack, and immediately they're blaming the Russian government. The evidence they produce is nothing, and a raft of sanctions against Russia, some of them ridiculous, has been announced by the British Prime Minister today, who opened up a statement by saying there is no alternative to the conclusion that the Russian government did it. Well, of course, there are endless other alternatives, but it's a narrative. It's nothing to do with fact. And the reason I bring that up in terms of freedom of speech is one of the excuses and demands that's happening here as a result of this attack is that RT, Russia Today, UK, the channel is banned because they did not accept the official government version of the nerve gas attack and basically were saying, where's the evidence? And which is what any journalist worth the name should be asking, but of course there aren't that many journalists worth the name anymore. So even this nerve agent attack is being used as an excuse to press for censorship, because the reason they want rid of RT is not really because it's funded by the Russian government. And when you watch RT, you watch it with a brain. if you have won an active duty, mm-hmm. you know it's funded by the Russian government. You know that it's going to come from the Russian angle, just as American television channels come from the American angle and British ones come from the British angle. You know they're not going to attack and expose anything to do with Putin and the Russian government, but you take what is good and you leave the rest. It's called discernment. Mm-hmm. And RT and their various channels around the world do ask questions that the mainstream media in those countries should be asking but won't. It does have more people on who have a different angle on the events and are more questioning. It doesn't go far enough. I mean, you know, its motto is question more. My motto is question everything. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between the two. And that's probably why they've never asked me on, even though I've been talking about the subjects they cover for nearly 30 years. But the fact that they are asking questions about daily current events that the mainstream media won't ask but should, and the governments in the various countries where they have channels don't want asked, that's the real reason they want to shut it down. That's the reason that there have been calls now for shutting down Al Jazeera in America or at least have it registered as a foreign agent, as they have made RT do in the United States. And the reason that they're targeting Al Jazeera is it's done some excellent undercover work, certainly in Britain, and there's one that's planned to be broadcast, if it ever is, in the United States, where they've used undercover cameras to expose the power and scale of the Zionist lobby in Britain and the United States. So you know, it's nothing to do with the excuses they come up with. It's all about controlling the narrative. And so, of course, when you have YouTube over the years as a great platform for alternative information being circulated. If you want to control the narrative, you want to control the narrative because you want to control perception of everything, then you need to stop alternative information which will offer an alternative perception. And that's what we're having now with YouTube closing down alternative channels for no reason. And Facebook and Google in their search engine all targeting alternative information. It's so blatant. I find it very interesting that the organizations that are trying to have my events silenced in Britain are what I call ultra-Zionist hate groups. These are Zionist organizations, ultra-Zionist organizations. And I call them hate groups because they set out to get the public to hate their targets by demonizing them. And so they are, in Britain, ultra-Zionist hate groups trying to silence my public events. And then you look to America and you look at Google, which is owned by Zionists. You look at Facebook, which is run by Zionists. YouTube, which is run by a Zionist. And then you look at the fact that those organizations that have such control now over the information that people receive globally mm-hmm. are using ultra-Zionist hate groups like the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center to dictate what is hate speech and what isn't. In other words, what people can see on those platforms and who can't. And as I said in the new book, if you break it down to the real core, the number of people who are through Silicon Valley, overwhelmingly, the devil's playground, dictating what people can and cannot see, the number of those people is tiny. And we're talking about organizations of a global nature, not just in America. I break it down in the book how all this works and how incredibly few people are actually now dictating globally what people see and hear.
Right. Well, I saw it here in the United States with the Parkland, Florida shooting. As soon as somebody put up a video on YouTube, with questions, asking questions like we always do with every shooting. YouTube immediately took that video down and started killing anybody's channel that was covering Parkland outside of the official narrative. Now, whether the narrative is right or wrong is irrelevant to me. I see it as total censorship and agree with you. This is mind control. It's another form of mind control.
Yeah, well, that's what censorship is, of course, because you censor information, and the information that people receive is that which forms people's perceptions, and thus you are controlling their mind by controlling their information. Their mind has the opportunity to process. I mean, one of the teachers in that school in Florida interviewed on mainstream, in an interview where obviously it wasn't meant to go this way, said that she saw the shooter close range. In fact, a bullet clipped her arm. And she said that she was amazed to see, her first reaction, she said, when she saw the shooter was, what are the police doing here? Because the shooter that she saw in the school had a helmet, a mask, a metal suit, and, quote, a gun that, like I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. But they don't want it questioned because they want to control the narrative. And the alternative media has been very, very effective over the years now in putting another alternative explanation for world events, which make more sense to people, increasing numbers of people, than the official narrative, which is almost entirely either lies or half-truths. It's obvious what's happening, and we need to build communication networks. I've been talking to someone today who's doing one, a new social media platform, which will be not censored. We need to build these communication networks outside of the official system, because at the moment, and this, I was talking with my son Jamie, who organizes my events and books and everything, printing, what have you. I've been talking to him for some considerable time about the fact that the alternative media is in a very vulnerable position when it depends for communicating its information on these mainstream sources and platforms, which in the end, as we're seeing now, are going to turn against them.
Right.
This is very important that we build these new communication networks, and some people are starting to do this now.
Right. I actually joined a new one called MeWe.com. Which is uncensored, no ads, none of that. It's just in its starting phase. I would say they're just starting to pick up membership, but it's still a whole lot better than being on Facebook, which is now totally eradicated any kind of real news. And people are saying Facebook's become so boring. And they actually will give you, I don't know if you've seen it, David, a little I, the letter I in a circle, to give you information on who posted it, whether they're legitimate or not.
I know. And of course, when you then look at these so-called fact checkers, you're looking at organizations funded by George Soros. You're looking at the ADL. You're looking at the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's an absolute joke. And for any organization to employ a politically motivated, politically funded agenda organization to decide what can and cannot be seen on these platforms, it's so disgraceful. It's obvious that it's all planned. I mean, one of these ultra Zionist hate groups that's trying to have my meetings banned in Britain by circulating a pack of lies about what I'm going to say. They are also employed by YouTube to decide what YouTube viewers see and don't see. It's blatantly obvious what's going on,
right?
And what's behind it. But you just have to get up and get on with it. I mean, I've got a speaking tour in the UK, which starts on April 10th, goes on for about 2 months. And virtually all the events, all the tickets have gone from all the events, basically. And I've, you know, not totally, but almost, a lot of the cities have sold out. We're just adding new dates in other places at the moment to meet demand. But I was going to speak, and still will, actually, in another way, in my home city, Leicester. It's where I was born in 1952. And we booked a theater there called the Athena in the city center, and everything was going fine, no problem. And then the police turned up at the theater in the form of a guy who calls himself a counter-terrorism officer and an anti-extremist officer or counter-extremism officer from the local council. And they told the venue owners a load of old rubbish about the fact that if I was speaking there, well, what about the reputation of the venue would be harmed, and there was potential danger, physical danger to staff and audience. And of course, I've been speaking around the world, literally all around the world and across many countries since the summer of 2016 on this world speaking tour, and there's not been a single protest by a single person anywhere. So this counter-terrorism officer and this council guy, who was, I tell you what, talk about clueless, actually gave the venue a pack of false information, did not even bother to contact me at any point to talk to me about it. And the venue pulled on the basis of what they were saying was true, when it was blatantly untrue and ridiculous. And we had a meeting last Friday at Leicester Police Station with the two people, myself and Jenny went along. And I questioned them. I asked them how many of my, to name the books of mine that they've read. Well, blank faces, none.
Right.
Name the public events that they had of mine that they had witnessed. Blank faces, none. And I asked them to name in the entire world tour, and I listed all the countries to them, name one event where a single person has ever protested. Blank face, none. So it was just extraordinary that you now have the police who's supposed to be protecting freedom of speech, and councils that are supposed to be protecting freedom of speech, actually playing a central role in deleting it. And, you know, I don't want to have a go at all police officers, because there are some brilliant police officers. There are some very genuine police officers who do a fantastic job. What I'm saying is they're not all like that, and they're certainly not all intelligent. I mean, you know, the person I met who called himself a counter-terrorism officer, to think that he is a counter-terrorism officer is actually quite terrifying, given what he called intelligence and the level of evidence he needs to go and do what he did with this Athena Theater. He said to me, I said, okay, well, where do you get your information from? Obviously, you've not got your information from reading my books or watching any talks. You've not got information from possible problems from the fact that I've been talking around the world since 2016 and there has been none.
Right.
And he said, well, I can't discuss intelligence. And I said to him, you know, I'll tell you where your intelligence came from. It came from these Zionist hate groups calling you up, telling you a pack of lies, and you believed it. And, you know, he talked about intelligence. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, when it's worth you know, reminding ourselves. And certainly, it was a big eye opener for me to have it literally in my face. Yeah. to see that these counter-terrorism police officers who come out and pontificate about this is what happened and this is who's responsible and all the rest of it. You don't have to be intelligent to the level that I believe you should have to be intelligent to do that job, to actually do that job. You know, we must be very careful that we don't fall for the myth that because they're counter-terrorist officers that they know they're doing, or because they're this or that or the other, or an FBI officer, that they know what they're doing. The evidence is obvious that a lot of them, not all of them, some brilliant ones, but a lot of them don't know what they're doing.
Right. Well, don't you think that it's the problem? You know, I know that because I've been following when this happens to you. You always get accused of being an anti-Semite. So don't you think the problem is that they don't know the difference between Zionism being a political faction and Judaism?
No, they don't. But the thing is, these Zionist, ultra-Zionist, emphasis on the ultra-Zionist hate groups, they don't want them to make that connection. So the whole point of these ultra-Zionist censors is to equate criticism of Zionism, the political philosophy, and Israel, the regime in Israel, with being racist against all Jewish people. This is the connection they want people to make. That's why they lie. I experienced that again this week. The ADL in America doesn't want people to make that connection. So what they do is they just hurl racist abuse at their targets to get people to hate them. And this is also why, by the way, that these ultra-Zionist hate groups in Britain refuse to debate with me. I've offered to debate with them, live debate with an independent moderator, but they won't, because once I get them on a live microphone, they're in deep trouble, both in dubbing me what they claim, and also standing up their own position, which is to equate questioning the Israeli government and questioning the political philosophy of Zionism with being racist. And of course, a heck of a lot of Jewish people are actually vehemently anti-Zionist. And if you look at the thousands that protest in Israel against the Netanyahu regime,
right.
You look at the young people in Israel who refuse to accept the conscription into the Israeli Defense Forces because they don't want to play a part in oppressing and suppressing Palestinian people. But you see there's a lot of opposition to Zionism among Jewish people. But, of course, that's not what you see in the mainstream media. It's just the same narrative equating Zionism with all Jewish people. And it's absolutely not the same thing. And we've had, through the United Nations and in Britain and Europe, the EU, a new definition now of anti-Semitism, which was worded and constructed by Zionist hate groups and accepted by the governments, which equates criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. So you can see what this is all about. It's not about protecting Jewish people from discrimination. It's about protecting Israel and the Rothschilds that control Israel from legitimate investigation and exposure. And it's always been like that, but the extremism of it is being increased all the time.
Right, but yet I'm sure you follow how Israel is discriminating against the black immigrants that have moved to their country and want to expel them, and even offering a bounty for anybody turning them in.
Well, Zionism, Maria, is an incredibly racist creed. I mean, the very fact that they want or have Jewish-only areas. I mean, if you had white-only areas, for instance, then there would be an outcry, and rightly so. If you had this-only areas or that-only areas, there would be an outcry. But Jewish-only areas in Israel is apparently okay, because the hypocrisy is extraordinary. It's simple. You can describe the hypocrisy in one sentence. It's okay when we do it.
Right.
So you've got this incredibly racist creed where you literally have an apartheid state by any definition of that word in Israel, mm-hmm. in relation to Israelis and Palestinians. And yet the orchestrators of that apartheid, that blatant racism, are the ones screaming racist at everyone else. And see, I won't go down that road. You know, a lot of people, they run around trying to defend themselves because of what they're saying. Oh, I don't care. I've got a racist cell in my body. But every cell in my body is in pursuit of the truth and speaking the truth. And I will do that. And if they want to call me racist for speaking the truth when it's not in the least racist, well, they'll just have to do it. But I'll still go on doing it because, you know, what other alternative is there to let the censors win? It's what they want. I won't have it.
Right. Well, I don't blame you. I don't either. And, you know, I don't go for, you know, and I love in your book how you talk about political correctness as another way of censoring us. And I can tell you, I've never been politically correct.
We've had so many stories this week in relation to that. And censorship, freedom of speech is incredible.
I know. It's really, and it seems like everybody's afraid to say anything about anything.
Well, I'll tell you a story. We have a football club in the East End of London called Millwall Football Club. And Millwall Football Club has a reputation for having really tough fans and being a really tough football club. And in terms of the fans, well, you know, it's justified, really. But this week, Millwall Football Club cancelled an event that they were hosting in one of their conference rooms by a group of feminists. It was a feminist event, and they cancelled it because they said protests by transgender people against the event taking place spooked them. You know, a football club is spooked, they say, by transgender people protesting over a feminist event. And of course, you know, that's a wonderful example of what's happening. You look at religion. You start with a religion, and then it starts subdividing into smaller and smaller expressions of that religion with different names and different ways of doing things. And then you've got dividing rule between different parts of the religion, like Protestant and Catholic and Sunni and Shiite. But that's what's happening with political correctness. You start out with certain groups, and then they subdivide. And what we have now is the subdivision of feminism into, in many cases, a warring faction against the transgender part of this whole political correctness. And what it's doing, of course, it's creating more and more fault lines in smaller and smaller areas to play different people off against each other. And, you know, what it's doing is, as these minority groups of perceived victims subdivide, is, as I've said in the book, increasingly quickly, yesterday's oppressed is becoming today's oppressor. And of course, at the bottom of the hierarchy of political correctness are white men who you know, you cannot be politically incorrect against white men. It's not possible because, of course, they are white supremacists, and it's white privilege. I would tell the white men who are living in homeless in the streets around the world that they are purveyors of white privilege and white supremacy. What they've done, Maria, is manipulate people, as I say in the book, to judge the world in the sense of groups. This is how political correctness works. So white men are a group to be judged in their entirety, with labels. Same with white women, same with black women, same with transgender, same with feminists. They are to be seen as groups, and they're labeled good, bad, or in white men's case, horrible, and that's it. And anyone with an ounce and smear of wisdom, common sense, basic intelligence, realizes that every group, no matter what it is, white, black, sky blue, pink, transgender, whatever, are made up of individuals that are not all the same. Some are nice people, some are okay people, some are deeply unpleasant people, and that applies to every group. But you can't look at the world like that through the eyes of political correctness. You have to see only the group with its label, good, bad, or somewhere in between. And this is how they have disconnected the debate from looking at individual behavior, no matter what the race, background, color, or creed, and replacing it with a group label. And this is where you get all white men bad. You know, it's whether you notice, they aren't actually.
Right.
It's just as all members of other groups are not good. It's the individual. It's not your color or creed. It's your state of consciousness that dictates your behavior. I go into detail in the book what's actually happening.
And very well. You do a great job.
There's such a story to tell in the mm-hmm. book about why this political correctness, why this attack on men, and not just white men, but men in general on one level, and why the transgender agenda, why the divide and rule between so-called far right and so-called far left. Why is it happening? Why is there mass immigration into Europe out of nowhere? Why is this transgender explosion come out of nowhere? Why is it happening? Well, those questions are answered in the book, and they are amazing in what those answers are. Because if you can nail the outcome, the desired outcome of something, where it's meant to end, what it's meant to achieve, then once you've nailed the outcome, then the steps, seeing the steps to that outcome daily unfold is very straightforward.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't know the outcome, then the steps look random every day, another random event, another random event. But when you nail where it's meant to go, where it's meant to end up, then apparently random events become step-by-step-by-step connections.
Right. Well, David, we need to take a short break, so stay with us. David and I will be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with David Icke. If you're not familiar with David Icke and you're a new listener, get over to David Icke, ICKE.com. There's a live link here. If you've read David's other books, get this one, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, because there's eye-opening stuff in it for sure. David, I was really stunned. As a matter of fact, I showed the pictures to a lot of my friends as they came through the house to visit, of the chemtrails and the Morgellons and what they're spraying in the chemtrails. Because people always want to know, well, what are they spraying? But when you talked about the nanobots and the nanodust, that's really scary stuff.
Yeah, and you know, this is not me pulling it out of the ether. This is what we're actually being told. If you read not very much between the lines either. Mm-hmm. See, people like Ray Kurzweil, the Google executive and PR man for Frankenstein, he is saying that what's going to happen is that everything, the whole environment, people, trees, everything, the soil, is going to be bathed in nanotechnology and nanochips, basically. It's known as smart dust and neural dust and other such names. And then, of course, when you look at what he says, there's only one way that can happen, and that's for that smart dust to fall from the sky to bring about the end that he's talking about. And they're talking about smart dust nanotechnology being introduced to the body, breathed in, which is what people will do. As this nanotechnology comes down to the chemtrails with the heavy metals and the chemicals and the poisons, people are breathing it in. And then they can be attached to this whole smart grid. Because I don't know if you ever saw the movie Transcendence.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp. Well, right. That was incredibly symbolic of what they're doing. For people who haven't seen it, Johnny Depp played a scientist just a little bit into the future about the time this planned to happen. And by then they had quantum computers, which are essential for this whole grid to operate in the way they want it, as is 5G frequencies, which are lethal. They're being brought in America now, and the trials have started in Britain. He found that he was dying, and he had a scientist's wife, and they downloaded his consciousness onto basically a data storage. And then after he died, his wife downloaded his consciousness mind in the movie onto the internet, and Johnny Depp's mind became the internet. This was clearly symbolic of the artificial intelligence taking over the internet, which it's doing, and it's planned to completely take over. This is what the Internet of Things is all about, where everything is connected to the internet, including your fridge, your car, everything. And all the ludicrous devices people have, like, you know, assistants, you know, these Amazon Echo and all this Apple Siri and all this stuff, where they are pulling people in to assimilate with artificial intelligence, because now more and more people daily are communicating and being communicated from artificial intelligence. This is the assimilation taking place, which I expose in detail in the book. So Johnny Depp became the mind of the internet, and therefore controlled, because by this time in the movie, when the period it was set, this Internet of Things was full blown, and everything was connected to the internet, and therefore he controlled everything that connected to the internet. This is what artificial intelligence is planned to do, and is actually being introduced. But then he wanted to entrap humanity in this internet, and they have a name for this already, not in the movie world, but in this world. which is the step on from the Internet of Things, as the CIA called it, to the what they call in the Internet of Everything. And the Internet of Everything includes the human brain and the human body, the human mind. And so they had to find a way in the movie Transcendence to entrap humanity. And what they did was send out what we would call smart dust, nanobots, nanotechnology, and they spread it on the wind, what they call sentient technology spread on the wind. And that's what's happening with chemtrails. This is nanotechnology spread on the wind, on the chemtrail.
Well, and I can tell you that
researchers who research deeply into the impact on nature are seeing the impact of this technology, this nanotechnology on nature and the way it's changing it and killing a lot of it.
Well, I can honestly tell you that every day that they do heavy spraying here, I get terrible joint pain. When they're not spraying, I don't have joint pain. And I've made that clear to my doctors. And now, finally, my doctors are asking me, what are they spraying? So, all right, it's taken, 30 years for doctors to realize the skies are not normal. But I'm always
Absolutely.
I'm always happy to explain it to them, and they don't look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, this is, amid all this dross that is happening, and there are some good things happening too. The interest in the work that I do, for instance, is going up in leaps and bounds, and this is the reason they're trying to shut me down. The alternative media in all its forms has had a tremendous impact in giving people an alternative narrative to the one they would otherwise only receive, and I said this some years ago, and it's one of the big motivations for doing this world speaking tour since the summer of 2016. I could see that there was this very large and increasing number of people who may not have encompassed this alternative narrative, but were getting very, very uncomfortable with the world. They were feeling uneasy about what was going on in the world. It didn't feel right. They were starting to go, what is going on? Mm. What I've set out to do is to say to those people, this is what's going on. What I've just done, what I'm about to start with this UK speaking tour, which then follows with a European speaking tour, which will then follow with an American speaking tour, is starting to do evening events that start at 7 o'clock and finish at 11, where I concertina the information into about 3 hours, 3¾ hours, and it's to try to draw in as many people as possible who wouldn't come to an all day event, but would give up an evening to say, okay, well, let's have a look at what this bloke's saying.
Right.
Because there is this gathering number of people now who are really, really open to this. I talk to people and who I've known over the years, and they say, the number of people I know that are interested in what you're saying now is incredible. And this awakening is taking place, and we should not just look at the censorship that's going on in a negative way. It's telling us something. Mm-hmm. It's telling us how afraid they are of the power of information and when it challenges the official narrative.
Right.
And we've got to keep the backbone stiff. We've got to keep the chin up and get on with it.
Right. Hey, people ask me.
Not fall into victim mode,
Right.
Instead of falling into victim mode, oh, they're censoring me, say, okay, well, how do we get around it? Because there's always a way.
Oh, yeah, you do it like we used to do back in the day when I actually used to put out a print newsletter, when I used to actually hold little local meetings, and then you let it grow. And I do agree, there is an awakening going on. You'd have to be blind not to see it. The whole world seems to be in turmoil, but you've got to go through that to get things better. You know, here in the States, you know, you see the children have woken up, the women have woken up. I said years ago,
it's got to get really bad. We've got to go a long way down the road before it's so obvious to people that you're going to get very large numbers of people to look at the world and ask questions they wouldn't otherwise have done. If it didn't get really like it's getting, then people wouldn't be waking up and saying what's going on, because they would all pass them by. So it has to get bad before we can really turn it back with the numbers that are necessary.
Right, right. Well, I've said that for years, that sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. And it's, you know, listen, I have to say, with all the turmoil going on and all the craziness that I have to cover on my shows, especially my news shows, I still find it extremely exciting because, like you, I've already seen the end. I know where this can go. And when you see, you know, one person waking up, that person's going to wake up another 10. And it just keeps going. For you to be considered such a big threat after all these years, David, you should take it as a compliment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been saying for years, you know, to be called mad by an idiot is a compliment. To be called dangerous by the system is an even bigger one. Because what the system considers dangerous is obviously bad for the system. So that's a compliment. And we just have to keep going, you know. I mean, you know, so much of this system is run by bewildered people who are just as mind controlled as those they're mind controlling. They just don't know it. As I said years ago, it takes a long time for the water to the pressure of the water to start to undermine a dam. It can take a long, long time. But the period between the cracks appearing in the dam and the dam collapsing can be very, very short. There are cracks in the system now. And, this explosion of censorship is trying to paper over the cracks so that, people don't realize what the system is. And because that's what's creating the cracks. It's the gathering awareness of what the world really is and where the world's really being taken and who's really behind it.
Right.
And it's not the people you see on the television. It's not the people you see in the White House or on Capitol Hill. They're just the gophers here today, gone tomorrow. It's the ones that are always there that we need to uncover.
Right. Well, I can tell you that after all these years of you talking about the reptilians, the archons, it makes me very happy when I see people posting, not necessarily on your posts, but posting in comments on other posts, calling these people out as archons. So I said, Wow, look at how many years it's taken, not only for people to accept it, but for people to actually understand it.
Yeah, and I tell you, One person who I think is very good, is worth mentioning, is Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely nothing else on Fox News that is worth the time of day, quite the opposite. But he is very, very good. And at the level that he operates, for one or two reasons. A, he genuinely believes in freedom of speech. Therefore, he will, and he's rare in journalism, even standing up for freedom of speech, but certainly rare in standing up for freedom of speech of people he disagrees with, which is what freedom of speech actually is. Without that, there is no freedom of speech. It's freedom to conform. But the other thing is, I'm responding to what you just said, is that I've seen one or two times, in fact, this week was one of them, where from a mainstream standpoint, he has done serious interviews over UFO activity and asked the question, hey, you know, there was one this week where UFOs were caught on Navy pilot radar. Mm-hmm. And the Navy pilots reported them. These UFOs from whatever origin they may be, we're doing things outside what is perceived to be the laws of physics. They were going at speeds that were just impossible with the human technology that we know of. And yet the authorities were completely uninterested in investigating what's going on. And Carlson did an interview with someone very seriously, very straight. Mm-hmm. He said at one point, "I think this subject is the biggest story there is to investigate." And he was asking the question, "Why is it that the authorities are not investigating this and seem not interested in it?" And so at least we've got far enough for at least one mainstream news program in the United States to have the intelligence mm-hmm. to take the subject seriously, that there are things happening that we absolutely cannot explain from the narrative of the system.
Right. Well, remember, if the government comes out with what they know about UFOs and their deals and et cetera, it would pretty much destroy the entire political and religious system on this planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, the controllers don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and of course we mustn't forget that, the American military has technology that's light years ahead of anything we see, so we mustn't just dismiss the fact that some of this stuff could be beyond top secret technology, because it's just anti-gravity craft. This craft in this Navy pilot's radar just had no wings. It defied the laws of physics. It could stop, change direction, go at fantastic speeds, because it's a completely different technology that interacts with the electromagnetic field and gets its power from there, and anti-gravity technology. And of course, it could well be that what they were looking at was a non-human craft. And like you say, once that bubble is burst, then by definition, minds are going to expand. It's one of the reasons they want to keep it quiet, that there is life beyond. When you look at it, and you just look at the night sky, you think that when you're looking at the night sky, you're looking at a absolutely almost indescribably small, tiny section of the universe. But planet Earth is about the billionth the size of a pinhead compared with the projected size of the universe. You see all those lights, even in this tiny, tiny smear that we see of the universe. The idea that humans are the only race to emerge that we call human, and bravely sometimes often call intelligent life, is absolutely ridiculous. But if you can be kept in the illusion that is the case, or at least there's no evidence that it's not the case, or evidence for the fact that there is another explanation, then, you know, that alone will close your mind, because you're thinking in terms of limitation. Mm-hmm. Once the mind breaks through that bubble to realize that actually the universe and beyond the universe is teeming with life of every describable kind, because when you're dealing with consciousness, the manifestations of consciousness, there is no limit to what consciousness can manifest, thus no limit to the forms that consciousness can express itself through. And suddenly, once that bubble's burst, the mind expands and expands and expands in terms of its perception of possibility, a perception of the reality it's experiencing. They don't want that, but increasingly people are going in that direction. As you say, they are now more and more open to the fact that there is a non-human force that's behind human events. And it's a very simple question to ask that leads you in that direction. Does the evidence show that the human society has been taken in a particular direction. Well, when you break down the evidence, yes, it does. So in this period where we've been going in this direction, people who've been who've played a part in that have been born and then they've died. And other people have been born and then they've died. So what is the common theme? What is the common source that spans that whole period of people being born, playing a part in it, dying, other people being born, playing a part in it, dying? There has to be a common force that spans all those generations and what we perceive to be thousands of years. And there is, and it's this force. Humans, human life, like politicians, they come and they go. But the force that's really behind it, working through politicians and scientists and bankers, etc., is the common theme that's always there. And that's not human.
Right. Well, David, we'll have to conclude on that statement, which is an excellent one. I do wish you the best on your tour. I know it'll be excellent. And I'll get in touch with you for our next show. We'll figure it around your dates.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Take good care of yourself.
You too, Maria. Bye.
Bye. David Icke. Check his work out at davidicke.com. If you don't have his new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, I highly recommend it. Again, thanks for supporting the show and the truth tellers that are out there and people that take a lot of bravery to do what they do. And even if it means going into a police station and talking to a counterterrorism police officer. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow with the news. And thank you once again for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.